Hello and welcome to the Mindful Millionaire Podcast. I'm so happy to share this conversation with you today with Lisa Merlot-Booth. We are talking about defensiveness. We are talking about something that people don't talk enough about because what I've learned, and you'll hear me share my story, I have the good fortune of working with Lisa and helping her in her business. And in the course of working together, I offered to help her with a workshop she was hosting about a new class she was offering back in the spring. During the middle of that workshop, I was helping her just like tell people about, I had a breakthrough that I actually needed this class. And I said, please sign me up. I want to participate. And what we're talking about today is the life-changing realizations that I had, that Lisa's had in her own life, and the people that Lisa works with. She's a relationship coach, right? She is a specialist in helping improve communication between partners. And, you know, if you work privately with her, costs a lot of money. There's a long, many months wait list, but she is offering this workshop about defensiveness. And because it changed my life so much, I really wanted her to come and talk about it for everyone here so you could hear about the impact that this work is making on my life and lots of others. Enjoy.
It actually brings you closer. It's more intimate. It's crazy. It's like, oh yeah, I hurt you. And then they're like, oh, I feel so loving towards you right now. It's like a crazy irony, you know? And of course you have, there's a whole way of doing it, but it truly is like when you know your partner is able to, or a best friend or mom or whoever, they're able to hear the feedback, own it, like own their piece without any blame or anything else. You genuinely, you feel heard, you feel closer. And you're like, oh, wow. And by the way, they look tougher, stronger, like just so much more capable. And you're like, oh, they can handle it. Oh, no, I can say that to my mom. She's got this.
Yep.
Instead of them protecting you by not saying it. It's a crazy irony. But you actually, it feels more intimate when you're able to find the courage to own your actions than it does to deny them.
Now is the time to elevate your financial consciousness. I'm Lisa Peterson, and if you're ready to raise your vibration about money, mindset, and emotional peace, then sit back, take a nice deep breath, and relax while you learn new ways to create the life of your dreams. Hello, beautiful souls. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, just hit the subscribe button. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving a review. This helps me grow the show, bring on ever more amazing guests, and keep the conversations going. Thank you for joining us. Let's get into today's episode. Lisa, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I would love it if you could talk a little bit about yourself so people can know kind of your story, your backstory, just a little more about you. What do you think would be good to share?
So I'm a speaker, author, relationship coach, started out doing therapy with underprivileged family, home-based, et cetera. Then started working with couples and kind of specializing with couples and I would say women's empowerment and men showing up relationally. And the reason why I say that is because we train men to kind of shut down relationally, and it's been a huge problem in relationships, and we teach women to over-accommodate. So it's like individually when I'm working with women, I'm teaching them to be more empowered. And when I'm working with men, I'm teaching them to be more connected because men and women are losing out so much because of our cultural messages. So,
wow. Yeah, it makes so much sense to me. I'm curious of what was the moment when you realized that helping couples was this area that you could really help people change their lives?
There's probably, a couple. One is unconsciously, subconsciously, under the surface family of origin, right? Like before I was even aware of it, my parents' marriage, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to, like, I need somebody who's able to work with really difficult men and kind of, and I didn't have that, you know, I needed somebody to fix my dad, so to speak, you know, and somebody to like strengthen my mom. So I think that was kind of probably bubbling in the background. And then when I was working with underprivileged, family, I'm doing home-based work, I happened to be the clinicians that I was working in, they were in just starting a supervision group with Terry Real, who he's a kind of couples guru. And so they were working with him. And so they asked me if I wanted to join that supervision group. And that was like 20 years ago. I don't even know, like 16, 20 years ago. And I was like, sure. And he was working with 1,000 men like my dad. And he was doing things that I was, he was doing things that I was doing, but feeling guilty about doing. Cause like my training is, anybody who's trained in couples therapy, they're really trained to not take sides, to, you know, go kind of underneath to the wounded part of the person. Why are they're acting this way? Because really there's a wounded little boy in there, blah, blah, blah. And, when I was working with families, like I remember this one family, I was in there for the son who was 15, 16, and the son was aggressive, throwing tantrums, punching holes in walls, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm sitting around their table with the family. And as they're telling me about his behavior, I'm like, who else in this family manages their anger like that? And everybody got really, really quiet. And slowly they're like, they looked at their dad. And I said, you can't ask a 16-year-old to do something you're not able to do at 40. And then I was like, oh, I shouldn't say that. Like that goes against every single ounce of training. And so then when I started the supervision group with Terry, that's exactly what he was doing. He's like, we, you know, grandiosity, you got to take it head on. And so once I started really kind of having permission for that and not feeling guilty about it, then I was like, okay, these men aren't coming in. Their wives are bringing them in. I have to work with the couple. And so there's a long way around how I got into, you know, really working with couples.
And the ability to coach these relationships and feel like you're helping people. I'm curious, how has that impacted your worldview? How has that affected your point of view in all this experience of seeing these relationships and finding the patterns and finding the trends that you see come up over and over again? How has it affected the way you see couple relationships?
So I would say the biggest change is that anybody can change if they wanted to. And I think if you had asked me that, you know, 15 years ago, I would have said, not so, you know, people, they are who they are, their personalities are their personalities, whatever. And it's really, it's not so much about that. It's if you have enough to lose, you're in enough pain, and you have enough motivation to change, you can change. You have to be willing to look at yourself. And most people are looking at the other people in their life and saying, look, if you didn't yell at me, I wouldn't cower. Or if you weren't, you know, controlling me all the time, I wouldn't yell. And, you know, and so they're constantly trying to get the other person to change, which is where they have zero power. And so once they realize, okay, wait a second, I have a saying, changing me changes we. So changing me will change your marriage. Changing me will change your children. Changing me will change your life, right? And what people do, though, is they want to change the other person, thinking if you would stop doing dot, 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 we would be okay. And I wouldn't have to do what I'm doing, right? So you just stop and then it'll fix us. And first off, you could wait till hell freezes over before they decide they want to stop, right? And that's a lot of wasted years. And two, you can't make them do anything. And so once people realize where their power is and they start focusing in the right place, that they change can really happen quick.
Wow. I really want to pause on this because even as you said it, I realized that I still might have some limiting beliefs that like lots of people can change, but some people can't. But you just nipped that one in the bud. So like, just really hold space for this. Okay. Yeah. People can change, but it all starts with me. I have to change before anyone else is going to change. And if I don't want to change, I'm essentially waiting for hell to freeze over for expecting other people to change and make my life better as a result. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Unless some freak of, you know, unless they have a kind of come to Jesus moment, so to speak, and they're like, I want to change. And then they're going to change and it's going to force a shift in you. I don't know what way, but it's going to force a shift in the system. Because if they used to be raging and yelling and screaming and now all of a sudden they lost their job and they're going to, you know, lose different things and they're like, oh my God, I got to handle my anger. And now they're not so angry. You're not going to know how to respond. It's going to force a shift in how you respond to them. But that's because they decided on their own to make some shift. And most people don't just randomly decide that. And they don't decide it because you start yelling and screaming at them or you start begging and crying and pleading. So if you're unhappy in some situation, you have the power to change it. I have a saying, you are 100% responsible for the life you create, the life you allow, or the life you sabotage. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? If you have this vision, I want us to be a great family, a great couple. I want my business to be wonderful, you know, run smoothly. What are you doing? What are you allowing that is going against that vision? Or what are you doing that is actively sabotaging that vision? You have mm-hmm. control of all that.
Do you think that we get so used to the juice, like the energy, the drama, the pain, the suffering, the struggle, that becomes our comfort zone? And it's like the sea we swim in, so we don't question it. Do you feel like that happens for us?
Absolutely. It's like, you know, the thermostat, it can go between 70 and 75, right? And so once it goes to 76, either you or your partner is going to get it back to 70 to 75, you know, however that happens. And if your partner doesn't do it, you're going to do it because it's comfortable. As much as you may be miserable, it's comfortable. You know it. You know what to expect. And until the pain of living in the situation you're living in becomes harder and more intense than the pain of changing, people don't change.
So one of the things that you came across in your work with couples and helping folks move through their relationship challenges was this posture of defensiveness. Yeah. Was this something that came on slowly and gradually? Did you notice early on? Did you realize you had to build some strategies to help people because everyone was doing it? Just like walk us through. Why did you see that this was something important?
So historically, it has, you know, it would come up in my work with couples, you know, fairly frequently, a lot, you know, like there were, it was enough times, you know, that I was like, gosh, you know, people struggle with this sometimes. But then when, honestly, regardless of your political affiliation, when Donald Trump took office and he is defensive on steroids, he almost has an inability to hear feedback. I started seeing it like just so big across the board with so many people. And their spouse, you know, they'd be in my office and their spouse would try to say something and they would immediately attack, or they would shut down, or they would get super reactive. And so I was like, what is going on? So this past 2 years, it is just so intensified. So then I did a survey saying, you know, look, what are you guys interested in? Are you interested in, you know, a 4 week, a 6 week, you know, an online course? And I threw out like, I don't know, maybe five different options. You know, one was like radically new relationships. One was defensiveness. One was finding your voice. And 86% of the respondents said defensiveness. And I was like, that is so ringing true to what I'm seeing. And so then like, I'm like, okay, I'll do like a small little, you know, I'll do a little 4 week course. And I thought I'd have like a, you know, a few people. And like, oh my gosh, the number of people who were interested was immediate. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my surprise a little bit was, one, I wasn't so sure that people were aware that they had it, or that it was a big issue. I knew it because I could see it. And in the couples, it was so huge. But then the other thing is, I thought that they would come on more because of other people who were defensive and they didn't know how to respond to other people. And I found that actually it was both, which was interesting to me.
Could you define how you see defensiveness? I know you mentioned some of the situations, but I really want folks to understand what we're talking about here, because I didn't understand it, right? I was working with you as you were putting things together. And it wasn't until the call where you were bringing it to other people that I had a light bulb moment. And it was really like, oh my gosh, I've been working with Lisa and I have a defensiveness problem and I didn't know it. So like, can you help? I can't remember what it was exactly, but I want others to understand, because I didn't think I had it. And it wasn't until something happened in your response and I sat with it for a moment and I was like, I think it's happening out there. Everyone's defensive. And then in the course of listening to you, it was like, I'm defensive. My posture is defensive. But let's unpack that a little more. Is that okay?
So, absolutely. It's a pervasive pattern of self-protection. And so self-protection can show up in so many different ways, but it's basically somebody is giving you feedback and you are having a really hard time taking that in. It feels like an attack, or it feels like, wait, but that's not really what happened. Or wait, you're not seeing all of me. Or, oh my gosh, you know, like, what's wrong with me? And so they can shut down. There's like so many different, you know, avenues, but it's, you have a difficult time apologizing. You have a difficult, there's like, oh, I'm sorry I did that. And, but you, other people do it, or I didn't mean to do it. So there's always there's something, you know, tagged onto it. It's really more about, in conflict or it with any type of feedback, you have a hard time just holding yourself in warm regard, hearing the feedback and owning it.
Without having to justify, explain, you know, I heard someone say in the class that you were teaching that, wait a minute, you know, he was talking about coming from a military background. And it's funny because even though we haven't all been in the military or have family in the military, our culture has certain techniques that we have learned that infiltrate the whole culture. And in the military, what he said was, if you are able to explain why you did something, you are less likely to get in trouble. And do you remember that?
I do. And he was also saying, like, look, in the military, if we make a mistake, they're like, I want to know why did that happen? What do you need to do next time? It was because we can't have this happen again. And so he was saying, like, we have to explain. In relationships, explaining is just another way of you, it's you protecting yourself. It's the unspoken of, you know, your explanation is, I'm not a bad person. I'm not who you think I are. And even in the military or, you know, on a job, I am competent. I really am. Let me explain why I didn't do dot, dot, dot. Let me, right? And it's still that self-protective, you know, and the only time an explanation, I'm not even going to tell you got to do the class to figure out when an explanation is helpful because it's better to just don't explain. But yeah, if you're rationalizing, justifying, explaining, if you're talking about your intentions, well, that wasn't my intention. All of that is defensive and it's going to take you off course because you can have the best intentions of the world and still hurt somebody. Doesn't matter about your.
It's amazing. And I think what's so interesting about what you're doing and what you're teaching with this is that because it is the sea that we swim in, and many of us have come from homes where techniques were used, there isn't a class for this. We never learned the alternative. You had to come out of the defensive story and start observing it through working with hundreds of clients over decades. Like I'm just, you know, soaking this up because I knew this about you and that's why we wanted to talk about it today. But it took all those years for you to heal enough of what you suffered growing up to be able to look at it and say, this isn't working for anyone. Anybody. There's a way out. You can change. And I think you're testament, and I really feel like it shows up in your work, that anyone can change. You're giving everyone an opportunity to revisit in a very safe way. Maybe our communication strategies are not as good as we think they are. And that's why we suffer so much in our relationships and we don't actually have to.
So much. I mean, we do not have a template. We don't have a template. I don't know how people would figure this out on their own because you can't, we don't have a template in the world, whether we're talking about leaders or professional athletes or coaches or moms, dads, it does everywhere you look, there's like defensiveness happening all the time. People have a hard time being accountable. They have a hard time taking responsibility 100% without any ifs, ands, or buts. And it's harming relationships. It's harming jobs. It's very hard to have an employee, you know, who every time you give them feedback, they're like, well, it was because Tom, you know, did his, he handed us the project late. That's why we were late. Or, oh, well, I didn't really, that wasn't really my fault. Same thing. If you're in a marriage and every time you just say, hey, that hurt my feelings. And they're like, oh, you're too sensitive. Or, well, maybe you should, you know, not be so sensitive. Maybe you should toughen up. Or you stop, you can't come to a solution. You can't fix problems. You can't fix issues at work. You can't fix issues at home. And so it just becomes this like, just a really tough terrain because you were never taught. And you don't want to look bad. And there's just a thousand things that get wrapped up in this.
I also want to mention that, you know, I'm very open and more than willing to share because this work has helped me so much. And I want other people to understand that I have an amazing family. I've been with my husband, you know, for 30 years. I have a 25-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I have great relationships with my kids. And in the spring, when I got the memo that this was actually something that could really help me, and I had that realization, and I was like, I'm your customer number one, Lisa. Like, I want to be a part of this class. What started to unfold was not that my relationships were bad. And I just want everyone to hear this. They weren't bad. They were good, good enough. Like on the scale, probably much better than most people could even imagine having. And yet, because I had grown up in a home where I had a very authoritarian father who had a terrible anger problem. Everyone postured around defensiveness, and that was all I knew. Mm-hmm. The reason, but then overall, I think I did a great job of covering it up because again, we can have a problem, but also know that we can't be like outwardly defensive and have anybody want to hang out with us. Like, I want to be clear about that. Right. Yeah. So what ended up coming for me through this work is that it wasn't the toll on my relationships as much as it was how hard I was working inside to deal with the resolution of conflict that I didn't have any tools to deal with.
Right.
Does that make sense? Coming out on me because I was like, I can't say what I need to say. I can't resolve things the way I want to because I didn't have the tools. So I just accepted that it was the way it was. Right. And so it was actually an act of compassion for myself looking back that I was able to come in and start to do this work because I was the one. I needed to give myself a break and realize that I wasn't a bad person because I wanted to be defensive or wanted to protect myself. It was merely because I didn't have any other tools and I was just like doing the best that I could. And the turning point was when I saw it and I started to apply them in my relationships, everything improved to such a significant degree that I didn't have to run around feeling sorry for myself or feeling like a martyr or whatever was going on deep inside of me. All of that collapsed and I gained so much space in my relationships as a result of now understanding that I don't have to be this way, that I can be okay with what's going on and I can laugh at myself and my family can laugh at me. And there's nothing more going on than, you know, sometimes there's still those little things where I'm like, sorry, I know what I just did. Please forgive me.
So I don't know, you know, it's funny. I struggled with defensiveness for a long time. And as I worked through it and got better, I don't know if this is, if you are feeling this at all, but right now, like now it is so freeing to be like, oh my gosh, my bad. I'm so sorry. Like, it's like, I just feel it's like oxygen and I don't feel that like toxic shame. I'm just like, you know, like, oh, I screwed it up again. Oh my gosh. I promise I'm gonna fix this. Like, and it feels lighter to me and my family can talk to me and I like, yeah, it's just, it's such a, it's like a weight gets lifted because you have the template, you know how to do it. And you also, I don't know, you just start to realize like, oh, everybody screws up. It's like, it's the human condition. You absolutely cannot not screw up. And that's not the problem. Actually, you screwing up isn't the problem. The problem is doubling down on that and pretending you didn't screw up or not having the conversation because you don't want to, like, so then it just goes underground and becomes a bigger mess up. But as far as like humanity and relationships and jobs, I got news for you. You're going to screw up so much, so much. And to be able to say like, you're right, I really messed that up. It's so freeing. I don't know. Did you feel that? Did you feel that like freedom a little bit? Like,
oh yeah. Well, that I realized, I think that's why I wanted to bring up this inner conflict piece because I didn't know that there was a way to live life without it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like there was a part of me that was hiding and now something happens and it's like the humility and the like forgiveness and the openness has allowed, you know, my family to bring things to my attention. But what's funny is maybe there was a wave at first of like, okay, well now we get to be honest with mom. We don't have to hold these things back because how we're going to hurt her feelings or whatever it is, whatever they were doing. It's just, there's a greater level of trust and intimacy in every single relationship because this isn't being done anymore. When defensiveness goes away, we trust each other more. We're willing to be more intimate with each other. I mean, that's what I've noticed.
Well, that's the thing. And it's funny, on one of the calls, we actually like play this, like we're playful on the calls. However, like you're also learning, you know, it's like you're practicing it. But one of the things that's really impactful to feel and to experience is when you defend, you feel more distant with that person. It's not like they're thinking, oh, he or she, isn't she wonderful? They actually didn't do the thing that I thought they did. No, what they're thinking is, oh, he or she is too fragile to be able to hear my feedback. I'm not thinking for a moment that your defensiveness is fooling me into thinking it didn't happen. I'm just thinking, oh, I'm never going to get the accountability I'm not going to get the accountability and we're not going to solve this. And that's a bummer. And they're too fragile to have this conversation. When you start literally saying, I did do the thing that you said I did, right? It actually brings you closer. It's more intimate. It's crazy. It's like, oh yeah, I hurt you. And then they're like, oh, I feel so loving towards you right now. It's like a crazy irony, you know? And of course there's a whole way of doing it, but it truly is like when you know your partner is able to, or a best friend or mom or whoever, they're able to hear the feedback, own it, like own their piece without any blame or anything else. You genuinely, you feel heard, you feel closer, and you're like, oh, wow. And by the way, they look tougher, stronger, like just so much more capable. And you're like, oh, they can handle it. Oh, no, I can say that to my mom. She's got this.
Yeah.
Instead of them protecting you by not saying it. It's a crazy irony. But you actually, it feels more intimate when you're able to find the courage to own your actions than it does to deny them.
So when you think about what you've uncovered and you think about these classes that you're teaching, and we'll share more about that, just like what would be a good next step. I'm curious about your vision for this. Like, what do you see? What do you want to see in the future in the world as a result of the seed that you're creating? I'm hoping maybe a book in the future. Like I'm really curious. I'm inviting you to think big. Tell me what you want.
You know, honestly, I feel like the first course, I don't know what to say, startled me. It, like just the intensity of the feedback from people. And, you know, I had one couple say, we've been in therapy for 10 years and these 4 weeks, at that time it was 4 weeks, now it's five, but these 4 weeks helped us more than 10 years of therapy. And so I'm trying to kind of grapple with like, okay, what else do people need? But one of the things I would love to do would be like a 6-month real intensive where people and, you know, couples and individuals, you know, managers, businesses, whatever, different cultures are really diving in to learn these, you know, communication techniques. And it's really about conflict. I mean, it's really about how do you master conflict on a level where both of the people in conflict feel closer because of the conflict and because of resolving it? Then like that would be just such a game changer for on every level. I mean, just culturally every level. So I'd like to ultimately find a program like that, a way to do that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to reflect this back to you and to everyone, because this is really like when we talk about having a vision, the idea. So your big idea, we talk about these things, right? The big idea that you have is that conflict does not have to be a bad thing. Conflict can actually be the great unifier when we have the right tools in which to approach that conflict. We can become closer.
Yeah, it can be an intimacy enhancer. Absolutely. Intimacy enhancer in terms of, you know, romantic relationships, in terms of friendships, familial relationships, and in terms of work, it can be a team enhancer in terms of work environments, because there's nothing you can't work through. When defensiveness is there, there's nothing you can work through. You can't get past the defensiveness, right? And when you can kind of walk away from a conflict feeling both empowered and connected and understood, that's a powerful experience.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking first relationships, at some point in the future, politics, because
right.
We're not going to go there necessarily today, but like what we're seeing of this extreme divisiveness is merely a reflection of what's happening in our homes, I'm guessing. And then it gets projected out into the world, into our political parties, into, you know, different areas of all the areas of our life. It just shows up, right? In all those areas.
Everywhere. I can't think of a place where there isn't natural conflict. That's the other thing. Like, it's natural. We're human beings. We make mistakes. The moment you make a mistake, the moment you hurt somebody, the moment you say you're going to pick up the milk and you don't, you say you're going to be at work on time and you're not at work on time, that's an issue that needs to be addressed. And you're human. Those issues are going to come up. I don't care who you are. I don't care how amazing you are. You still can't be perfect. And so, you know, we need, instead of running from conflict, we need to go into it, and then we'll walk through it and feel better because of it. But our world does not see it as that at all. And many people see feedback as an attack, right? And oh my goodness, think of the freedom you would have and feel if you saw feedback as a gift. If you literally saw feedback as oxygen to help you grow and encouraged it, it's just life changing.
Mm-hmm. I totally hear that. And we can't improve if we don't know what is bothering people in our lives. We don't have any tool for changing it. But I also want to just reinforce what you said, that this is not about being perfect, like being the perfect partner or being the perfect coworker or the perfect manager or whatever it is. This is about being in the human condition, giving yourself permission for that. And what a relief, that you don't, that's not the measuring stick that you are suggesting people hold themselves to. It's more of, do you have the strategies that can help you live your life with more peace and joy and ease?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And not only is perfection not the issue, there's a 99% chance that if you struggle with perfection, you struggle with defensiveness. Why? Because if I need to be perfect and you're giving me feedback, I have to say that's not true, because it's going to break my, you know, my need to be perfect. And so it's freeing. If you struggle with perfectionism, which I like, that my defensiveness, really a lot of it came from the perfectionism, right? It's like, how freeing to be like, oh, I'm not perfect, but not like flippantly, like, you know, you're not doing it flippantly, but really, like, perfectionism is like, oh my God, it's a straitjacket that you cannot get out of. And so this is just a wonderful way. If you struggle with perfectionism, yeah, this, you likely struggle with defensiveness. I don't even know how you couldn't struggle with defensiveness.
Thank you so much for this work. Thank you so much for the dedication to saying this is needed in the world and I'm going to devote time and energy to it, because I will say from the bottom of my heart, it's been a life-changing experience. I can't wait to go through it again. I constantly am learning, you know, things about myself, but the past, you know, 4 months or so, 5 months, I started this class and kind of what happened afterwards and the changes have just had such a big impact in my life. And I feel like I am so happy, happier than I probably even knew was possible as a result of doing this work. So thank you so much, Lisa. And what would be the next best step? Obviously, this conversation is going to be out there, you know, in perpetuity, but from time to time, you offer these classes. There's one coming up in September that's starting. So if someone's listening to this and the podcast has just come out, then we'll make sure and put links. And, you know, I'm not an affiliate. I'm just really excited about Lisa, you know, being able to touch more lives and get more people in her program, because I know what's about to happen for you if you do, but we'll put the links for the upcoming class. But then also, if somebody is in between, would they just go to your website? Like, what do you want them to do if it's in between a class?
Great question. If they're in between a class, there are, you know, on my blog, lisamarlabooth.com, on my website, you can see my blog. There are articles on defensiveness. There's articles on relationships. If you're interested in the next course, so if it's in between courses, this one's going to start September 22nd. If it's after the start of this course, send me an email. And if you're interested in the next one, I can put you on the wait list, you know, put you on the interested list, and we can go from there. Yeah, right now my practice is really full. So, I don't know when this is airing. It's in perpetuity, but the thing about this course, what I would say is when you do it live, the impact of the group is really what, you know, makes a huge shift. So I strongly, you know, if defensiveness is an issue, I would really try to get in the course and live on the calls. They're only once a week. I would try to do that best you can. And for couples, if couples are interested, we put you in different breakout groups. So it's a great thing for couples, but you're in separate groups. So, you know, you're not going to get triggered by each other, which is great. But I would say, you know, sign up, like get in line for the next course if you can, read, you know, blog posts on it. I have a podcast and we've done a couple on defensiveness in my podcast that you can look up. It's the Rising Podcast for Women. And I know we have at least two on defensiveness there. So that'll help you with the topic as well.
Yeah. I think you open up this world of understanding as you lean into it. And it starts to cause you to notice things that you hadn't noticed before. And that's a good transition as well. So maybe even from today's conversation, you're gonna be like, ooh, was that what Lisa and Lisa were talking about in that conversation? I think that might be what they were saying. Oh, this is something that I actually want to work on. So thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for doing this. And it was so much fun having you in the course. You know, I so loved your energy and I'm psyched you're going to be doing it again. And thank you for this. I can't thank you enough.
All the links from this episode can be found at mindfulmillionairebook.com, where you'll also get access to free gifts and my book, The Mindful Millionaire. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with your friends and family. Thanks for tuning in to Elevate Your Financial Consciousness. To connect with me directly and other like-minded souls and discuss today's episode, be sure to join us on Facebook inside the Mindful Millionaire community. Just type Mindful Millionaire Community into your Facebook search bar and click Join Group. You'll answer three quick questions and then you can join our conversations about all things money and mindfulness. Can't wait to meet you there.